Welcome in to another episode of the Joey Morales Show, here restarted for the fourth, fifth time. Ready to break down NFL week one with my good friend, Eric Stairs. How's it going, buddy?
I would have been doing a lot better if you had played the intro music. That's like always my favorite part about doing the podcast with you. But nonetheless, still feeling pretty good. Happy to be here.
The intro music is fire, and our audio listeners will hear it. The little recording software we used to have a little button so I could play it for the guest to get a little hyped up, but it's okay. We'll proceed forward. Today we're going to be breaking down division by division, making some picks, who we think is going to win the division, who we think is going to make it to the Super Bowl, and who we ultimately think is going to win the Lombardi Trophy. Let's go ahead and get into it because I think this could be a long pot if we dilly-dally. Starting with the AFC North, Eric, who do you got to win?
AFC North. So what I did here this week was I ran every game through a simulation, which is it was using this AI engine, which I like to call my brain. So we're at AFC North. This is an interesting division. I got three teams over 10 wins, but I think Buffalo is going to come out on top. You always got to question a little bit whenever a quarterback changes teams. I feel like so often superstars will move to a new team and just not quite have that same effectiveness that they had with their prior team. Of course, I'm referring to Aaron Rodgers. Tua and Allen are both more ingrained in that offense for each of their respective teams. But got Miami with 10 wins, Jets with 11, and Buffalo coming up 12-5. I think that's a pretty chalk pick, but it's really hard to pick against Buffalo.
No, that's not a bad pick at all, especially for the AFC East, my friend. But that's okay.
I labeled them correctly.
We'll pivot on the fly here. Off to a great start on the restart of the podcast. We'll just go ahead and make our picks for the AFC East. I also got the Buffalo Bills. This is a team that has been among the leaders in odds to win the Super Bowl for the last 3 years. And they've really just kind of had some very poor playoff performances and or just late game mistakes, I would say, right? You have that game against the Chiefs, the 13 seconds or whatever that was, you know, what are you going to do in a situation like that going up against Patrick Mahomes? And last year against the Bengals at home in the snowy game, you know, most teams have a game like that every season. I always think it's interesting when people try to draw huge conclusions from games like that, only when they happen in the playoffs. If a game like that happens in the middle of the season, you know, maybe you have some question marks, but you give that team pretty good chances to bounce back from it. And I like this team to bounce back from it as well. And when you look across the board, I would say that the top competitors just kind of expanding out further now. What I will say is the Chiefs, I think, have gotten worse. I think the Bengals have gotten marginally a little bit worse. And the Bills here just are pretty much have the same roster. They have same coaching. They have a talented quarterback. They have all the pieces you need on offense and on defense to make it to the Super Bowl. I like them to win the AFC East as well. I have them finishing as the number one overall seed in the AFC. And to speak a little bit about some of those other teams, the Dolphins I find are very interesting. One argument is that, you know, one concussion's two and two is done.
Yeah.
And that team's out. And the counter argument is that, well, any quarterback, if their team or any team, if their quarterback gets injured, their team is out. And that's true. But a concussion is, at this point in the NFL, a fairly regular injury, I would say. It's an injury that, you probably have like a 5% chance of getting every season, which sounds low, but it's kind of high, I would say. And to think that your Super Bowl odds could drop like a rock if your player gets a fairly common injury, I think is reason enough to not want to bet them to literally make it 20 something games without that injury occurring. On top of that, you do have some issues early on with this team, right? Mm-hmm. Jeff Wilson on the IR, Jalen Waddle still battling an oblique injury, and they signed Robbie. I'm just going to call him Robbie Anderson. I don't care. He calls himself Chosen. They signed Robbie Anderson. That leads me to believe that maybe they think Waddle might actually have some problems.
When is Jalen Ramsey due back?
Exactly. So I don't really like the Dolphins. The Jets have, in my opinion, a very wide range of outcomes, specifically because the biggest unknown, in my opinion, is what Aaron Rodgers can do with the receivers. Can he get them to play to decent levels? It seems like early on, they're having some issues with communication. They're having issues with running routes. If you watched Hard Knocks, they talked about this. It's been widely reported that they have issues on the offensive line.
Yeah.
I don't see that getting better. And on top of that, I just feel like Aaron Rodgers is a powder keg. And I'm not saying he's not a leader, right? But it certainly is not far-fetched to say that he has not a lot of patience. And their schedule to start the season is incredibly tough.
Yeah.
And I'll let you go ahead and talk for a bit while I pull this up.
I have it up.
Yeah, go ahead. And because it's tough, man. They play the Bills right off the bat.
At least that one's at home. You get to go to Dallas. And I know it's cliched, but Aaron Rodgers historically owns that building. So I really do believe that matters for a player like him. And even for a Dallas team that's suffered crushing defeats to him at home one too many times. And then they get New England and KC at home. And you can say what you want about New England, but Bill Belichick's always going to have a game plan that's going to make it challenging to win. And then, of course, Kansas City at home. I've even got them losing that game despite the fact that they don't have to go to Arrowhead. At Denver and then versus Philly before their bye in week 7. So you're realistically looking at best case scenario, maybe 4-2 right there. I don't see them being able to beat Buffalo, Dallas, and Philadelphia. Buffalo, Dallas, Kansas City, and Philadelphia. The schedule eases up a little bit in the second half of the season, which is, I'd rather have my team play an easier schedule in the second half of the season, especially because you have a quarterback that's coming in and he's adopting to a new system, despite the fact that it is Nathaniel Hackett, a guy that he's worked with in the past. But you got a host of young players that are going to play critical roles for this team. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, those guys are obviously, every single game makes a big difference for them, especially with Hall coming off of the injury. But I definitely think that they'll make the playoffs still. It's just, there's so much talent on the roster. The defense proved to be competitive last year, even with saying bad quarterback play would be kind. So I think that the defense is good enough and Aaron Rodgers is experienced enough to get this team to the playoffs and in a wild card spot.
So moving on to the AFC South, who do you got to win, Eric?
AFC South. Let's try to actually get the division correct this time. AFC South, Jacksonville's going to win this division. I think that Jacksonville does have some problems, primarily the offensive line. But they added, who did they add on the receiving core? They got Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. They actually gave Evan Ingram a new deal, so that proves that they're confident that he's going to come in and make a difference. But really, I think the thing that strikes me most about the division is the weakness of the teams other than Jacksonville. We have rookie quarterbacks in Indianapolis and Houston. We have declining, I don't want to call him star. We have a declining talent in Ryan Tannehill. Who knows what Derrick Henry is going to be? He's at that age where running backs' productivity tends to drop off of a cliff. I don't think that Derrick Henry is a standard back, and I expect him to still be competitive this year, still be one of the top running backs in the league, but I don't think that he's going to be that same guy that you're frankly afraid to tackle in the open field. I don't think that the acquisition of DeAndre Hopkins does a whole lot for them. We saw that he still has juice in Arizona last year, but he's not that guy that he was in Houston. And then Houston, I don't expect anything really much from CJ Stroud this year. Indianapolis is a kind of a wild card, but you know, and they have a new system there with Shane Steichen coming in there. I'm not confident that it's enough to put them even really close to playoff contention. But I do think that Indianapolis will be close to 500, followed by Tennessee and Houston in that division. But I've got Jacksonville with that 13 wins. I think I thought about it hard over the last day or so. I think it's going to be more like 12 or 11, but I do think that they'll come out tops in that division for sure.
I also have the Jags, you know, not a hot take here. Agree with everything you said on Tennessee, so I won't add anything there. Agree on Houston as well. Would say that, you know, that it could be a really rough like go of it for CJ Stroud. I actually kind of think that they would have been smarter just letting Davis Mills get annihilated for at least like till the bye, you know, whenever that is. You know, just let him hold the clipboard, get some like game experience. Having him go play week one, 10-point underdog in Baltimore is just ridiculous. And, you know, they only have like four receivers on their active roster. Like, it's just a mess, dude. No, Jonathan Taylor's hurt, or not hurt, but, you know, not playing.
Unable to play, one might say, or perform.
Yeah. So also got the Jaguars there. Moving on to the AFC, North. Let's get it right this time, Eric. Who you got?
Okay, got it. The Bills are winning the North and the East.
Oh, wow.
I got Cincinnati. I know, again, it's hard to go against the chalk here. If there's any team that can beat Cincinnati, I think that it's going to be Baltimore. But it's just hard to commit to suggesting a team can level up, not really understanding what they have from a like scheme standpoint. We know that they want to commit a little bit more to the pass game than they have in the past, and it's been effective for them. The Ravens have been one of the top 12 teams in the league, I guess, for the last five or six seasons, at least since Lamar took over. But I don't think that they have the chops right now to compete with Cincinnati, assuming that everything goes right for Cincinnati. It's that injury to Burrow in training camp looked like something that is not going to go away right away, and has the chance of popping back up sometime later in the season. Anytime you have a non-contact injury, you immediately freak out. But overall, I think this is going to be the strongest division in the AFC. I think that Kenny Pickett's going to level up. I'm still not completely sold on George Pickens as a difference maker. I think that he might end up being a Devontae Parker type. Not useful, but not the guy that a lot of pundits think he's going to be, just because he's had those flashy catches. And then Cleveland, I think they're going to have one of the stronger defensive fronts in the league. Anything with Myles Garrett is obviously going to be terrifying. But so I've got all four teams here with at least 8 wins. Cincinnati with 14, Baltimore with 11, Pittsburgh and Cleveland with 8. So I got Baltimore in with the wild card, and I got Cincinnati as a team that's going to be challenging to beat during the playoffs, assuming that Joey Burrow is healthy.
I also have the Bengals here winning the division. Not a lot of disagreement early on between the two of us, but it's okay. I'm sure we'll get there soon. But I will say I have it literally by a tiebreaker. I have the Bengals going 10-7. I also have the Ravens going 10-7. I don't really think I have a ton to add for the Bengals. You know, they just haven't, there's just not a lot changing over from last year to this. Outside of that injury, I think is just the main talking point. What I will say is that I think the pressure is on Joe Mixon to maybe be a little bit more efficient. He took the
for sure
pay cut. He avoided some, call it legal and or suspension trouble, with the incident he had in the off season. But you know, that team has to win now because all the T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, all those contract extensions kick in next year. If they do not win the Super Bowl this year, their chances of winning from here on out probably drop significantly, in my opinion. And looking at the Ravens side of things, they add offensive coordinator Todd Monken. This guy's very aggressive. He's going to have them pass the ball significantly more, wants them to kind of run more of a spread offense similar to what he ran in Louisville. I think that bodes well for success. I think that they're going to go 10-7. I think they're going to be right there with the Bengals competing. What I will say, though, is that he may want to run that offense, but he is dealing with dudes that are, you know, questionable, right? J.K. Dobbins coming off an injury, Rashad Bateman coming off an injury, Odell Beckham coming off an injury and already hurt. I just saw that he missed practice today. can't believe he tried to get the Cowboys to sign him last season. I'm so glad the Cowboys didn't. Right. You have rookie Zay Flowers now. Right. And then Mark Andrews was also injured for a large portion of the preseason. Looks like he's going to be fine, but, you know, certainly some question marks early on with at least how well they're going to be able to run the offense right out of the gate. Assuming those guys can all get healthy and, you know, the ACL tears kind of and the Liz Frank, all that stuff clears up and all these guys can return back to their normal healthy selves, I think this team can really compete on the offensive side of the ball. And the defensive side of the ball, maybe not as much. But I like the Ravens getting a wild card spot going 10-7. Also should note that I also have the Dolphins going 10-7 and making the wild card as well.
Yeah,
I actually have
I have Miami in. They actually won the tiebreaker for me against the Chargers.
Okay. So that's, let's go ahead and get into the AFC West. Go ahead, Eric. Who do you got to win?
I hate the fact that we're on the fourth division now, and they've all been the betting odds favorite team to win. But I don't think that anybody can touch Kansas City. The coaching is just better than everybody else, and Mahomes is just that guy. You know, it is interesting here. We'll see what happens with Chris Jones. I don't expect him to play tonight. But I would imagine that he'll probably be back by, let's ballpark and say week four. I would think before that, because I think that they're going to come out and have a tough time defending the run and getting to the quarterback tonight. And it's going to add a little bit of pressure to the front office to re-sign him to something longer term. I don't think that Kelce is going to play tonight either. If he does, I'll be concerned about the risk of re-injury. But Travis Kelce is a guy that's I think he's missed one game in his career. Definitely no more than two due to injury. I think he sat out a week 17 or 18 game whenever they had the playoffs clinched. But if they're without those two guys for an extended period of time, they lose some things that make them better than everybody else. So, for example, third down effectiveness completely relies on Travis Kelce. He's always the number one target. The other team knows it and they still can't stop him. Chris Jones, double teams, clogs up the middle of the line there. and if they don't have those two guys, it's going to add a lot of pressure on Mahomes. And we all know that they've been completely fine with rolling with basically a mediocre offensive skill set. From a wide receiver and running back standpoint and just relied on Mahomes and Kelce. So if they don't have Kelce, you have to wonder who's going to step up outside of that. Is it going to be Pacheco? Maybe seventh round pick. I doubt it. Sky Moore, Jerick McKinnon, Who else is even catching passes for them? It turns over every year. MVS, those guys are proven to be quality role players, but really nothing more. But nonetheless, I trust Andy Reid. I trust Mahomes. I think that this division is clearly theirs. I expect Denver to improve because Hackett was just not ready for that job last year. I don't think that they're going to be good because Russell, I definitely think, is over the hill. That's really the bottom line with them. Vegas, what's his name, McDaniels, he needs to go now. I would be shocked if he was still the coach of the Raiders by the end of the season. But I like the Chargers. I think they have so much talent, especially on the offensive side. I was just kind of grappling with myself the other day internally about why they picked Quentin Johnson in the first round, knowing that they have three quality receivers already. Are they expecting one of them to get hurt like they almost always do, be it Mike Williams or Keenan Allen? So knowing that they do have a little bit of reinforcement from the wide receiver, or a little bit of additional depth this year, along with the addition of Kellen Moore, still can't believe the Cowboys let him walk. I expect the Chargers to be I was actually shocked that they didn't make the playoffs in my simulation here. But if I were a betting man here, I would be completely fine with wagering some cash that they do end up in the postseason this year.
I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and would note that, you know, the spread tonight, right, for the Lions Chiefs game went from 6.5, currently at 4.5. Would not be surprised if it closes 4. Pretty crazy.
I saw it 5 in my book about 2 hours ago.
Okay, so I was going to say, I don't think it would be at 4. I feel like there'd be a buyback. But even still, for it to move 2 points, especially through a key number of 6 for a tight end, just goes to show what we already know, that the Chiefs are heavily, heavily dependent on an aging tight end. And you know, last season, a lot of people thought that this was the Chiefs' tank year. This is the year that, you know, the Chargers are going to win the division, right? This was last year. And, you know, they proved everyone wrong. But it's not crazy to just say that, you know, it required a lot of Patrick Mahomes in order for that to happen. And, you know, if you go look at their season-long stats last year, I'm pretty sure, like, Kelce was the only guy that even got more than, like, 750 receiving yards. This is going to be a team that is going to have to, like, piece together every single, like, catch, right? Like, you're just going to have to get Sky Moore or MVS or Kadarius Toney to really take big steps, right, Jerick McKinnon. And all of these guys have been kind of gadget guys and fringe, you know, starters mm-hmm. to begin with. You add in the fact that Chris Jones is gone. I mean, this defense was not good to begin with. I would say it is like heavily reliant on being able to play from a lead. And I think that this is the year that, not that the Chiefs fall on their faces, but that they really struggle with, you know, lack of talent around the perimeter. And you look across the board, every team has gotten better, right? The Jets, the Chargers, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Ravens, right? You're not playing Anthony Brown anymore starting for the Ravens or whatever, right? Like every single one of these teams has gotten better. And to backtrack a little bit, right? Like even some of the bottom 10 end teams on the AFC, the Steelers, I think Kenny Pickett's going to be able to play. And I just think across the board that the NFL, like a lot of these other teams, have gotten better. And that the Chiefs have gotten significantly worse. And it's also not crazy to just think that this is a team that won a Super Bowl last year when they were supposed to not even win a lot of people thought that they wouldn't win the division. Is it crazy to think that just the focus just isn't quite there, at least right off the bat, and that they lose a few more games than you might think and finish in the wild card? They have the toughest strength of schedule in the league. I have them personally going 10-7 and finishing in the wild card, and I have the Chargers winning the division. I don't really feel like I need to spend a ton on the Raiders and the Broncos. The Raiders are going to be a dumpster fire. I think that they're going to trade Davante Adams and potentially Josh Jacobs before the trade deadline. I think that the Broncos are going to play better, but they're still just only going to be able to beat up on teams that are not put together offensively and really struggle against competent offenses. And so kind of looking in at the Chargers, right? You add a quality rookie receiver in Quentin Johnson. You add Kellen Moore, who has had the Cowboys like top five in yards per play pretty much every year that Dak's been healthy. A lot of signs are pointing up for this Chargers team. If they can stay healthy, if they can finally just play competent football, like especially on the fringes, right? Special teams, penalties, all that good sort of stuff. I really think that it's the Chargers year. And I don't think it's crazy to think that they just finish with one more win than the Chiefs do. So I got the Chargers winning the AFC West, finishing second in the AFC conference. Moving on over to the NFC, Eric, who you got winning the NFC South?
Ooh, this is the most fun division in the whole league, I think. little homer pick here. I got Atlanta winning the division at a just dominant 9-8. I got the tiebreaker with New Orleans there, 9-8 for New Orleans as well. I like Atlanta. I think they improved quite a bit. Did they improve in the right ways? Was it wise to select Bijan Robinson with that 9th overall pick, 8th overall pick, whatever it was? Probably not. We've seen teams have success almost exclusively without having expensive running backs, either from a draft capital standpoint or from a contract standpoint. They did add Jesse Bates. Love that on the defensive side. But really it all boils down here to what can Desmond Ridder do? The entire season for the Falcons is on his back. And I trust him and I trust this coaching staff to put him in a position to win. And perhaps that's why they did pick Bijan Robinson, so that they could employ an offensive strategy that takes pressure off of Ridder and makes it such that he does not have to throw the ball downfield in order to have success. I think it's a fascinating division because I was reading earlier that a lot of like big money is on Tampa Bay to win the division because it really is so wide open. I think that Tampa Bay is going to be the worst team in the league, maybe with the exception of the Cardinals. So I've got them down there in the cellar of this division. And I'm also not overly convinced that Bryce Young is going to have any kind of effectiveness this year. They don't really have a whole lot over there from a standpoint of pass catching ability or pass catching talent. But what we did see from the Panthers last year is the ability to run the football. We had, after they traded CMC, we had Deontay Foreman. He went to probably the worst college in the U.S. and he was still able to run well for them. Little shout out to Texas there for us. So I do think that he'll have the ability to take some pressure off, or the coaching staff will take some pressure off of him, run the football, and I think they'll be able to do it effectively. And then New Orleans, again, so hard to tell what's going on whenever you have a new quarterback coming into the system. Obviously, I trust Derek Carr more than I trust Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton. But whenever I look at this team, I don't think that it really has a huge advantage over Atlanta in any kind of way. So I think that'll play out. And I got Atlanta winning the division on a tiebreaker.
I actually also have Atlanta winning the division. The Panthers' receiving options are laughable. I mean, Adam Thielen is your wide receiver one. He's looking like he's going to miss week one. DJ Chark was then your receiver one. He's looking like he's going to miss week one. You're down to...
And Brian Burns is out too.
Yeah, you're going to start with Jonathan Mingo and Hayden Hurst, maybe? And Miles Sanders, like... you could even make the argument that Bryce Young is going to have a rougher start than any of the other rookies this season. looking at the Bucks, again, this is another team that I just feel like is a dead team walking. You know, you got some offensive weapons, but you know, with Baker at the helm, I just really do not see much of a ceiling for this team. The Saints could be interesting to me. Their defense was actually top five, I believe, in yards per play allowed last season. If they can get better quarterback play, which I got to say, I don't think you can really count on, just because you're quote unquote upgrading from, you know, Andy Dalton to Derek Carr, maybe you can get a better performance. Really, what's the biggest thing that's going for the Saints is they have the easiest strength of schedule, or the second easiest strength of schedule, followed only by the Falcons. And the Falcons, I think, have a chance to be the number one seed in the NFC. And I made a video on them about how I think they're going to go to the NFC Championship. Arthur Smith, in his first year as offensive coordinator with the Titans, led that team to fourth in yards per play, first in yards per pass attempt, and third in yards per rush attempt with Ryan Tannehill at the helm, right? We know who Ryan Tannehill is. Now you have a electric, young, exciting rookie in Bijan. We already know that Drake London is a really good receiver. Kyle Pitts is plenty talented, and I think that they might use him a little bit more this year. And really what I think a lot of people are expecting is that the Falcons are going to run the ball as much as they did last season. And I think that's just more of a byproduct of, you know, they went into last season with Mariota. You know, he has limitations passing. I think Arthur Smith just said, okay, I'm just going to try to win as many games by just leaning on the ground game and avoiding mistakes. Now you have a full offseason to work with Desmond Ridder. You have all these talented rookies. You have the easiest strength of schedule in the league. And looking on the defensive side of the ball, they added four guys that when you combine their sacks from last season have 21 and a half sacks, right? And that was the area that the Falcons struggled the most, was pass rate. They were dead last year in sack rate. They also add Ryan Nielsen, the defensive line coach from the Saints. He comes over to play defense, or to coach as defensive coordinator. Even if this Falcons defense can be league average against the strength of schedule that they have, with the talent, the young talent that they have, I really think that this team could win 10 games. I think that there are scenarios where the Falcon or the 49ers really fall from grace. I think that there are scenarios where the Eagles and the Cowboys both kind of finish with around 11 wins or so, and would not be surprised if the Falcons go 6-0, right? Get that tiebreaker, have 11 wins along with the Eagles and the Cowboys, and get the number one seed. It's a hot take, you know, it's unlikely to happen, but the ceiling on this team, given the strength of schedule and the weapons they have on both sides of the ball, I think is pretty high. And it really just comes down to people's inability to project what the range of outcomes for Desmond Ridder. And if you just look at what he did with the Titans with Ryan Tannehill, he took that team to an AFC championship. Okay. Like, Ryan Tannehill's cannot be that much better than Desmond Ridder. So I like the Falcons to finish as the 3 seed at 10-7. I like the Saints to also finish in the wild card. I also have them going 10-7, but I really could be convinced to have them, you know, go 9-8. But with their strength of schedule, they're going to have a pretty good shot at making the wild card. Moving on over to the NFC North. Who you got, Eric?
Okay, I think this is this is another fun division. I'm going to put Minnesota here at the top of this division. I know that they, if we had like a quote unquote luck metric, they would have been right near the top of that. But this is just the division that, or I just think that they're going to be able to like win the games in the division. So I have Green Bay actually making the playoffs as well. I think that Green Bay and Chicago and Detroit are all extremely interesting teams to speculate on this year. I think that all three of them have a wide range of outcomes. So I picked Minnesota to win because we know what they are. And it's not anything spectacular, but I think if you rolled this four-sided die 100 times, I think that Minnesota would come out on top just because of the continuity from the last few teams, right? So we have the same quarterback, we have the same stars, we have the same coaching staff, or at least the same head coach. You have huge variables, Green Bay with Jordan Love. Detroit is probably the team that has the next most continuity, but even still, second year coach? And then same thing with Chicago. I think that they all have really interesting cases to win the division. So I've got all four teams with at least 8 wins, but I've got Minnesota going 11-6 and actually coming out on top in this division, followed by Green Bay, just a game back, 10-7. And I've got Green Bay fitting in at the sixth spot in the NFC. So they're going to sneak into the playoffs and in the wild card.
So I actually don't mind what you're saying about the Vikings, because I think a lot of people are kind of have them written off for dead just after their late season performance down the stretch, and especially in their playoff game against the Giants. The main really thing to talk about with the Vikings is what they can do on defense this season. They bring in Brian Flores. I expect this defense to be much more aggressive, blitz a lot more, and that can be good and it can be bad. I would not be surprised if the Vikings are in a ton of shootouts this season. With blitzing comes explosive plays, big changes in field position. And the Vikings have obviously plenty of talent on offense to be able to keep pace. So I don't mind them finishing where they are. My biggest concern with this team is that I just still do not think that they have the defensive pieces in order to execute that kind of strategy. I actually have them missing the playoffs. But what I will say is I don't feel great about that stance anymore, simply because it does seem like it's a widely accepted view, which leads me to believe that maybe I'm perhaps underrating the Vikings defense. But to move along the board here, obviously the Bears, don't need to say much more to them other than, I hope Fields can play well. This is a team that has really lived in the gutter for a decade now. Rooting for them, do not expect them to win more than 7 games or so this season, maybe. And even that's kind of a big jump, I think. The Packers, not a good start, man. Romeo Doubs, Dubes is hurt. He returned to practice today. Christian Watson missed practice yesterday. Not a good start for a guy that's, he's had some starts in the league, but really, he's probably trying to get a lot of confidence in this first game. It's a, 1-point spread. Just not a good start for him. But the Packers, I just, again, still feel like their roster is not bad enough where they're going to be bottom of the barrel. But I struggle to see them winning more than 6 games or so.
The start of their season has a pretty cushy schedule, though. It goes at Chicago, at Atlanta, versus New Orleans, versus Detroit, versus Las Vegas. I think that all 5 of those are winnable games, which is kind of why I had them being able to compete in this division.
Yeah, I mean, they have the 11th strength of schedule, 11th easiest, that is, strength of schedule. So, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they could exceed their win total. I just do not see them as a legitimate contender for the division. So to focus on the current favorite of the division and who I got winning, the Detroit Lions, expected to make the biggest jump, I would say, on the defensive side of the ball. But that's not a guarantee. And what I will say is, you look at their offense, right? They have a really good offensive line. And they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has been a really good slot receiver. But outside of that, man, they don't really have a lot of, dynamic weapons on the perimeter. You got Josh Reynolds, Marvin Jones, they got the rookie tight end, Sam Laporta, who knows how effective he ends up being. You have the
rookie tight ends are rarely effective.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I was kind of hinting at is I don't think he's going to be very effective, you know, at least in his first year. And David Montgomery, you know, a replacement level running back, I would say, you know, add in. So really, I mean, honestly, man, you're looking at Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff, and that's who you're going to put your division future on. The more I'm talking, the more I kind of just want to flip and go with what you're saying and just roll with the Vikings again. However, I still do think that Dan Campbell is a hell of a coach. I think he's, you know, that this is the year, right? You know, you're no longer that scrappy underdog team, you know, that's trying to win some games you shouldn't, right? This is the year where there are legitimate expectations. And I think that they personally need to make some sort of move to get some more talent in there. Because if they really want to make a run, this is probably their year to do it. I mean, we're going to get to them in a second, but I think the 49ers could fall off a cliff this season. I really think it's the Cowboys and the Eagles as the only people you're really scared about in the entire conference. I think the Lions should consider heavily pushing all of their chips in. Moving on to the NFC West. Who you got winning, Eric?
Who do you think I have winning? I do not anticipate the 49ers falling off of a cliff. So what is the argument for them falling off of a cliff? Is it the quarterback play?
So I guess I can go ahead and give my NFC West takes here. What? The primary concern that I have is that they have some offensive line issues, specifically with depth. And I think that the later the season goes on, that those are going to be exposed. This is a team that has the odds. And remember, you know, we're always talking about this obviously through like a betting lens. And for them to be like the fourth or fifth highest favorite to win the Super Bowl, based off a sample size of like 7 or 8 games, right? From a guy, you know, that, you know, was a Jag just a few, you know, a year ago, I just think is a little crazy, right? And obviously, you have explosive weapons. You have Kittle, although he's hurt. You have Kittle. You have Debo. You have CMC. You have Ayuk. Those are very talented weapons. I guess maybe fall off a cliff is a very extravagant word. But I think specifically when it comes to the playoffs, that this team is going to, I think this team is going to lose nearly right off the bat. I think they'll play fine in the regular season. They have a top 4 strength of schedule. I still predict them to win the division, but I really think that they're going to struggle come playoff time. I think that there's also a chance that Brock Purdy could just not play as well as we saw for, you know, half of his sample last season. And again, this is all through the betting lens that they are like the fifth, they are like a bigger favorite to win the Super Bowl than the Bengals. Right. And part of that is the NFC is very weak, but also part of that is that just the view that they are an exceptional team. I think on the defense, right, you've now lost your defensive coordinator in like 2 of the last 3 years. Right. So you have a third guy coming in. Is it unreasonable to think that the defense takes a step back? It was pretty big of them to get Bosa back, but just enough question marks and concerns on them. And whenever a lot hinges on guy being able to perform how we thought, I just think that's a good opportunity to take advantage of some potential unforeseen uncertainty. Looking at the Seahawks, this is a team that could have a really high ceiling if Geno can play how he did last year and not like the other 8 years of his career. Had Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is ready to play week 1 despite this wrist surgery that he had. You add Zach Charbonnet, who hopefully will push Kenneth Walker to be more efficient with his runs instead of trying to look for the home runs. You know, I think Pete Carroll's still a pretty competent, high-quality coach. The Seahawks have the 8th easiest strength of schedule. I think that goes bodes well for them. And looking at the other teams, right, Cooper Kupp might go in the IR. I would not be surprised. Not that Stafford retires midseason, right, but that they, you know, they send him out to the pasture, so to speak. And the Cardinals, obviously, are going to be – I think they could be the first 0-17 team in the –
I had to like update my stuff and give them a couple of wins here and there just because I basically had them at 0-17 after I did my first projection of these games.
Exactly. And so, you know, kind of backtracking a little bit, this is why I was struggling with the Vikings, because I'm like, man, the Seahawks could easily have four layup wins. The
yep.
Saints could have four layup wins against the Bucks and the Panthers if things really go south over there. So yeah, I kind of like the Seahawks to get, you know, to sweep those two division series. I think that they will face the 49ers at some point in the playoffs and beat them. But I still have the 49ers winning the division for, you know, for now. But I have them losing pretty early on in the playoffs. Continuing on, last division here, NFC East. Who you got, Eric?
Pick them.
Oh, wait, did you didn't give your NFC West.
My points was really the same on the NFC West. I have Seattle in the playoffs in the wild card. They sneak in. I've got them at 9-8. I don't think that they're incredible, but I think that the success in this division is so split between the top two and the bottom two, and that's why I feel more confident that San Francisco can still earn a really high playoff seed. I actually have them as the number one seed in the NFC, because you basically are handing these teams four wins each. But that's really it. I still believe in San Francisco. I hate to, like, we're in week one right now, so naturally we're so concerned about Nick Bosa's availability, but again, I think one game, it's much like Chris Jones. One game without him is going to put pressure on the front office to get that deal done, because it might be a little frightening for them to watch their front seven without those two guys that demand so much attention. I've got LA and Arizona only combining for five wins. Cause I agree about Matthew Stafford. You have him, Cup, Donald, and a bunch of guys that are just marginally better at football than you and I. I would be afraid for the future if I was a Rams fan, knowing that they've traded all of their assets and have nothing left. At least they got a Super Bowl. That's beside the point. I'm ready to move on to the East.
All right, yeah, moving on to the NFC East. Who you got winning between the Eagles and the Cowboys?
Really, they just drafted so well, and they added to a defensive front that was already frightening. Do I think that they're going to do, like, is the defensive front going to be able to sack the quarterback with the same frequency that they did last year? No, I think that was somewhat anomalous. I don't think Hassan Reddick is one of the great pass rushers in our game today. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think that he has the same type of success this year. But I do still trust Jalen Hurts, and the weapons there are undeniably well above average with AJ Brown, Goddard, and Smith. Their rushing attack is a question mark, but Hurts runs the ball so effectively that I worry less about having out of this world running back play. We'll see what we get from DeAndre Swift, but I'm worried that he's going to go the way of Kerryon Johnson, where now that he's released from Detroit, that he's kind of going to fade into obscurity as the next few years pass. Dallas, again, it all relies on Dak Prescott. I think that this conversation has become a little more heated since the acquisition of Trey Lance. People are concerned that this is the last year of Dak Prescott, and and they've got Dak Prescott's heir waiting, waiting on the sidelines. But I still have a lot of confidence in the Cowboys, and the defense is good enough. Whenever you have a guy like Parsons, you can anchor your defense around him, because offensive guys have, or offensive coordinators have no other option than to assume that this guy is going to wreck the game. And then with the Giants and Commanders, gosh, Shane would be so mad at me for calling them that. I just don't think that those teams really have the juice. Dable is really their key asset, in my opinion, but there's not a whole lot there for the Giants from a talent perspective. Is Barkley going to be able to stay healthy? Is Daniel Jones the guy that's going to lead you through the playoffs and even to the playoffs? I don't see that happening. I do have actually a great deal of respect for Jones for being able to be a resourceful quarterback, but I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, because you do have two of the top 8 to 10 teams in your division, and I think that's going to bog them down. And then Washington, I don't trust Sam Howell. I think that Riverboat Ron is on his way out there as well. So yeah, I got Philly with 13 wins, Dallas with 10. I think that it really is about the head-to-head matchups for those two teams to determine who wins the division.
Yeah, totally agree on everything you had for the Eagles. What's funny is they won so many games by blowout this season that a lot of people are saying that, you know, they're going to lose a few more games because of who they lost on the defense. But I do agree with you. They drafted well the previous 2 years. So I think they're going to have plenty of depth. And again, just because their defense doesn't play as well doesn't mean they're not going to win games, man. I mean, there was a lot of games where it was over by the first half. And I mean, oh, like 28 to nothing, 21 to like 3. Would not be surprised if Hurts throws a little bit more this season, just because they have to, and I expect him to be very successful when they do so. I have the Eagles finishing as the number one seed in the NFC. I have the Cowboys finishing as the first wild card spot at 11. I have both teams going 11-6, and it's really the theme for the NFL this season. I just have a lot of teams very similarly, finishing. Like, I think a lot of them are going to finish with very similar records. Going on to the Giants, this is a team that everybody knows, obviously, outperformed their expectations last year. Most people think that they're going to, you know, be a better team this season, but just because you're a better team doesn't mean you win more football games. You know, one possession games can really just kind of skew your perception of a team. But, you know, the Giants receiver situation is hilarious. They have Waller, which is great, but not enough weapons that you're really scared of them. And Daniel Jones played well last season. Not out of the realm of possibility that he regresses. Looking at the Commanders, defense should be good. Sam Howell, I think I've heard that he could be really good. I'm skeptical of that, but I think he actually could be pretty decent based off of a few people's reports. They have a lot. They actually have a good amount of talent on the offensive side of the ball with John Dotson, McLaurin, even Curtis Samuel, at least last season, still had some juice to get some, you know, decent after the catch yardage. You have a couple of decent running backs in Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. Perhaps you can get some more production out of them. Largely, though, this is still a team that is going to be, a 6-win team this season, 7-win team this season. They won 8 games last year, and I felt like that was a bit of a overaccomplishment. I see them being a better team this year, but just like similar to the Giants, finishing with less wins. So I have the Cowboys making the playoffs at 11-6. Moving on to how we see the playoffs going, starting in the AFC. Eric, who do you have in the AFC championship? If you could give me a prediction for that, and who do you have going to the Super Bowl?
Okay, in the AFC, it's so hard not to put Kansas City in there. I've actually got Buffalo beating Jacksonville. And I mostly am predicting that from a variance perspective. I think that it's so, so easy to just fall into the trap and assume that Mahomes is going to get there. And everybody is so hyped about the Bengals. I kid you not, I was in Cincinnati a few weeks ago, and I was sitting at a bar top, and I heard this guy said, quote unquote, "We should win the Super Bowl if blank." I don't care what the if is. Nobody should ever win the Super Bowl. But I think a lot of people are so ingrained in this mindset that it's going to be Kansas City and Cincy, probably, especially after Buffalo's playoff failures. I actually do think that Buffalo breaks through this year. I've thought really the last 2 years that they were going to break through, and I'm going to stick with that. And then Jacksonville, I like them to host a playoff game in the first round. And I actually have them beating the Jets in the first round of the playoffs. I think that them being able to win that division and get the home playoff game, assuming that they have a better record than one of the other divisional winners, is a huge thing for them. And then at that point, it was mostly just kind of going against the grain. I wanted to pick at least one team that wasn't Buffalo, Kansas City, or Cincinnati in that AFC championship game.
Sounds good. Yeah, I have the Bills over Chargers. Won't really reiterate a ton of points other than the fact that I just think that this is not the Chiefs' year. I don't think that the Bengals are going to run clean the way they have, like, to this point. I mean, their Super Bowl run was incredibly lucky. They, like, won so many games when they really shouldn't have based off of those sacks that they were allowing. You know, and I just think that they caught the Buffalo Bills last season at, like, just a really bad game, and would expect them to win maybe one game in the playoffs, but be out by the divisional round. I got the Bills over the Chargers in the AFC. In the NFC, I have the Eagles over the Falcons. That's right, the Falcons. Mostly because I have the 49ers losing to the Seahawks, and then I have the Falcons beating the Seahawks. I have the Eagles beating the Cowboys in the divisional round, and I ultimately have the Eagles beating the Falcons to go to the Super Bowl. I got Eagles, Bills in the Super Bowl, and I got Eagles over the Bills to win the Super Bowl. Go ahead and give us your NFC picks, your Super Bowl pick, Eric, and then we can get out of here.
That takes a big man to pick your most hated team to win the Super Bowl. So Atlanta and Philly are actually my divisional round losers. I've got San Francisco, and you're going to love this, Minnesota. So again, Minnesota, much like Jacksonville, I think that there's going to be a team that sneaks through here that's not called San Francisco or Philly. I think that if we go and look at the wagers that are out there right now, most of it's going to be on those two teams. And again, mostly just for variance. And again, it's the same thing with Jacksonville. I've got Minnesota being able to host a playoff game in the first round. I know that they lost that game to the Giants last year. And it really, it was probably about darn time for them to lose one of those games that ended up being tight, because they won every single one throughout the regular season. But I like Kirk. I think that he's mature at this point. Obviously, he has been for a long time. And I like the weapons out there. I think that adding Addison is going to be pretty sweet for them. But I actually have Minnesota advancing to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And I know that's my hot take.
Drinking that Netflix quarterback Kool-Aid, huh?
I actually didn't even watch it. But then I've got Buffalo topping Minnesota in the Super Bowl. I didn't want to get too crazy.
All right, yeah. One other thing I guess I'd like to briefly touch on before we get out of here, because I feel like I didn't give my Cowboys thoughts. My main take on the Cowboys is that at the end of the day, we should have beat them. By we, yes, I'm a Cowboys fan. The Cowboys should have beat the 49ers last season in the divisional round. if Dak doesn't even throw one of those interceptions, the Cowboys likely win that game. This is a team that should have gone to the NFC Championship last season, right? If Dak just plays even median level of his own skill set. If he plays above level, we win that game easily and we are competitive in the Eagles game, right? So at least that's how I perceived the end of last season. The Cowboys perceived it as our team is just not capable of winning anything and we need to make drastic changes in order to get the results we want. And I just disagree with that, right? But what do the Cowboys do? They get rid of Kellen Moore. They fire offensive line coach, our running backs coach. Nearly every assistant coach on the offensive side of the ball was let go. They bring in Brian Schottenheimer, who he was already on the team last season. They're saying they're going to run this quote-unquote Texas toast offense where it's like 60% of what they were doing last year with like 30% new stuff. On one hand, I'm happy that they're keeping more of Kellen Moore's stuff in there. I hope that's true. But it concerns me that Mike McCarthy might have the strategy of milking the clock more than the Cowboys should, running the ball more than they should, getting behind and down a distance. What does encourage me is that at least in the preseason, their pass rate was still pretty healthy. And essentially my main take is that, you know, Dak is a really good quarterback, but the more and more that the years go by, how good is he really compared to Joe Burrow, to Jalen Hurts, to Josh Allen, to Patrick Mahomes, to Trevor Lawrence, to, you know, down the road, Justin Herbert, right? And most of those quarterbacks in the AFC, so it's no big deal, but you are going to have to beat one of them in order to win a Super Bowl. And I'm just not sure that Dak, especially now that he doesn't run as much since his whole ankle injury, is really going to be able to compete with them at the highest levels. Now, having said that, Tony Pollard with the workhorse role could really, really make up for a lot of deficiencies. This guy is questionably the best running back in the NFL. He is one of the most efficient ones in the NFL. I think that the Cowboys season is going to come down to Dak Prescott and he's going to have to not throw two interceptions and to have to be able, because the Cowboys, in my opinion, are going to be likely playing three road playoff games every year while Jalen Hurts is on the Eagles. It's just tough to see them really sweeping all three and making it to the Super Bowl. And so I think that this year it becomes pretty apparent that, you know, Dak is Dak, but we're going to need some things to go right for us to compete with these teams that have significantly better quarterback play that's more consistent. So that's my take on the Cowboys. You got any more thoughts on any other team, Eric, before we get out of here?
No, I don't have any thoughts that are as well constructed as yours on the Cowboys. So I'm good to put a bow on it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We will try to do this podcast once a week if we can. Might miss a few weeks, but thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye, folks.